Hi, Joe. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Marvin, you're on mute.
I was just saying, I think my background is dated. That's got to be fixed.
Was going to make a comment on it. No judgment here for having Christmas in your background in February.
It's all year round. It really is. It should be. I'll just take that off of there.
Joe, I got a text from Adam Hathaway a bit ago, and he's in DC at a conference and won't be able to join us today.
Okay, so there's no 10-minute tidbit. Okay.
Yeah. And Joe, quorum will equal 22 today.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. I see Dwayne, Arudi, and Al here. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
And TJ is here as well. Thank you as well, TJ, for being here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Okay, it's the 102. Shall we do roll call?
Yeah, you bet. Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here. And thank you to our guest speakers for being here. We'll hear from them soon. First off, though, let me get roll call of the counselors out of the way. Beecham?
Here.
Begay? Blanco Silva?
Here.
Oh, thank you, Chelsea. Got you. Alex Bose?
Present.
Thank you. Chavez? Cushing?
Present.
Desai?
Present.
Faustino?
Present.
Fisher?
Present.
Flores? Forsyth? Gallegos?
Present.
Gouch?
Present.
Thank you. Heinemeier? Henley?
Here.
Jones?
Here.
Kavka?
Here.
Lane?
Present.
Lionbarger?
Here.
Lopez? Luna?
Present.
McCabe Kelly? McQuarrie?
Present.
Murillo?
Here.
Ortiz?
Here.
Bibbs?
Here.
Robinson?
Here.
Rucker? Sakiestiwa?
Sorry, here.
Cool. Thank you, Carla. Sandoval? Sawyer?
Here.
Serna?
Here.
Sloan?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Stanton?
Here.
Stoddard? Terrell?
Present.
Thomas?
Here.
Torres? Trujillo?
Present.
Trujillo McClure?
Present.
And are there any counselors here now who did not hear their name called? Okay, thank you. Speaker Lane, quorum has been established. And just to let the rest of you know, we will not have Parliamentarian Adam Hathaway with us today. He's in DC at a conference. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, has everyone seen the agenda and approved it? Are there any changes to it?
Joe, I do have a change to the agenda that we will not have the 10-minute tidbit.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Are there any other changes? So without objection, let's accept the agenda. Land acknowledgement, Councillor Robinson. I know you're here. You're.
I'm sorry. Did I hear my name called? I'm having to.
Yeah, you're assigned to read the land acknowledgement.
Oh, okay.
Joe, did you want to pull it up perhaps so he can see?
Yeah, I'm looking for it because I wasn't prepared. Oh. Sorry.
North.
Okay. Founded in 1889, the University of New Mexico sits on the traditional homelands of the Pueblo of Sandia, the original peoples of New Mexico, Pueblo, Navajo, and Apache since the time immemorial, have deep connections to the land and have made significant contributions to the broader community statewide. We honor the land itself and those who remain stewards of this land through the generations and also acknowledge our committed relationship to Indigenous peoples. We gratefully recognize our history.
Okay, thank you. Approval of the minutes. Has everyone seen the minutes?
Joe, I have an amendment on the minutes as well. Under the speaker's report, I'd like to strike Gave reminded the council and replace that with reported that.
Okay. Are there any changes to the minutes? Other changes? So with the minutes as amended, without objection, we can approve it. Approve them. Thank you. Let's see. Are there any constituent comments? Are there any constituents here today would like to make a comment? Not see any. So did you, who wants to introduce the guest speakers? Terrell, do you want to do that or?
Oh, yes, from IT, let me introduce. We have with us CIO Dwayne Rudy. We have our director, TJ Martinez, and then the support center, Al Valtero.
Perfect. Damien, thank you very much. And members of staff council, thanks for having us. This is great. I see a lot of familiar faces around our Zoom room here and some new ones. We really appreciate being invited out. I think you all had two areas of interest, and today we're prepared to really focus on one. The two areas of interest that you had expressed wanting to get more details on are our service desk system and how that works and how you can effectively use our ticketing system. And so Al is here. He's our manager of customer support services, and he is going to do a nice walkthrough of that. We do have a couple of other folks. TJ was already introduced. She is the director of customer support services. We also have Lisa Yuka, the manager of the UNM Canvas help desk, with us. We run a couple of operations here, and Al will get into some of the details as well as what we're doing to bring all of that together. The topic that was also brought forward is MyIT, which is a portal that we have out there that has a lot of information on the projects that are going on. And if acceptable to staff council, I think that would be a great topic for us to come back to at a later date. I really wanted to be able to focus our time and attention on our service desk. So if that works for everyone, I will turn it over to Al.
Thank you, Dwayne. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Al Otero. I work with customer support services. One of the areas that I work with is the service desk. So I just wanted to do a brief sort of intro of showing you all a map of how things work and then also leave plenty of time to take any questions from you all. So I'm going to demonstrate and present real quick. All right. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
All righty. So a little bit of just sort of ticket lifecycle. I want to talk briefly on sort of how things come in and to highlight a couple differences just to make you all aware. So There's sort of one main front door into UNMIT, which is through the service desk. You can reach the service desk through two methods, one of which is calling the 277-5757, and then the other is our self-service portal, which is found at help.unm.edu. Just a quick thing to highlight is there are other portals out there. There's also, some of you all may be familiar with emailing individuals or groups that will generate tickets on your behalf, or some of you might also fall under IT officer areas. So just know that there are other avenues to where some of those folks, they may open tickets on your behalf into UNMIT. But just know that those are to talk sort of a little bit about the intake process. Just know that those are a little bit different. And oftentimes they don't tie into each other. So like there are facility management portals. You know, if you've got some plumbing issues in your building, that's a separate portal that we, you know, we can't forward tickets to or anything like that. And it's two different groups. So there's definitely more than one ticketing systems out there, but this is just a little bit of a brief overview on ours. So once you submit the ticket, we basically are sort of looking at our goal. Our number one goal at the service desk is we want to try to help as many people as we can. So, and I'll get into some of the stats a little bit later, but we sort of break our situations out into two categories, one being service requests and one being incidents. So there are several examples, but essentially a service request is you need something from us. Maybe it's a desk phone or a new listserv, or you need access to some application. And then we also categorize tickets as incidents, which is something is not working as it should be. So like I said, our number one goal really is to try to complete, fulfill, and resolve as many things at our level as we can. So in terms of incidents, we have about a 70% first contact resolution rate. Certain services that are well-defined, we generally see a much higher first contact resolution rate. As an example, multi-factor authentication, we have a first contact resolution rate of 94% of those. So there are some services where we're much higher than that 70%. And then there are other services where a little bit lower than that 70%. And then also when it comes to service requests, we do typically fulfill a large majority of those. Generally, it's around 85 to 90%, just because a lot of it is just sort of account maintenance or, you know, we are the administrators of like the mobile device program. So we complete a lot of that stuff in-house. So there may be times where, especially on a self-service ticket, if tickets come in where maybe there needs to be a little bit more information or we need to clarify, typically one of our agents will reach out. Sometimes we do refer things outside of IT, like if somebody reaches out to us about a plumbing issue, we're going to refer that one outside of IT. Generally what we're using to help us make those decisions is, knowledge databases, previous tickets, and just sort of general understanding of the various areas. And then if we determine it's something we can't resolve or fulfill in-house, then we will typically escalate it to one of our various other teams. So within our ticketing system, we have 96 unique teams, but really there's each category has typically multiple teams. So applications has 10 or 15 teams. So a lot of these teams are comprised of the same people, but there's typically each team has a different purpose. And so I say all of this to just sort of highlight that at times things go astray, and we're going to talk a little bit about sort of what you can do if you find yourselves in one of those situations. Once it goes to those teams, some level of work is performed. And then again, it goes back to the completion status. So just a little bit about the service desk. We have 9 full-time staff and 8 student employees. We, over the last couple of years or so, we especially with COVID, we found it more and more difficult to attract and retain students that could sort of, you know, it's a lot of what we do is some simple stuff, but then there's a lot of what we do that's just difficult. We have to have a vast knowledge of a lot of different kinds of services. So it's kind of the whole jack of all trades, but the master of none. There are services, though, that luckily we are the masters of. So we've got a pretty in-depth knowledge of those. So we started to shift. One of the things that we did after COVID was we started to shift some of our resources to trying to bulk up more of our staff. Generally, what we find is that the return on that investment is higher with the staff. We've got them typically for longer. They're working on average double as many hours, so they're able to pick up our environment and the general knowledge. They're able to pick it up much faster. So we've got about a 50-50 split now of staff versus students. Doing that has also helped improve some of our metrics. So generally, we are able to pick up your call when you call us in about 35 seconds. That metric comes from a span of the last 1 year. So keep in mind, I mean, obviously around start of semester and busier times, that number is generally a little bit higher. Typically, our average time to review self-service tickets is about 30 minutes. So we're generally getting to those pretty quick as well. Just in a typical year, we take about 40,000 phone calls, and then we also handle about 10,000 self-service requests. So we have in total roughly 50,000 customer contacts. And like I said, you know, really our goal is we want to try to add as much value to the organization at our level as we can. So that's generally what happens when you contact the service desk. Now, I just want to cover a couple topics. Like I mentioned, sometimes things do go astray. So if something is maybe taking a little bit longer than you would expect, or if you just want to know the general status of something, I highly recommend to call us. That's the best way to do a status check. We have a defined process built out around status checks where it automates all of the emails to the team managers that are involved. So it's a very robust and good system to use. If you feel like your situation has spiraled out of control and things just are not going right, my email address is on the screen. I generally obviously don't want to put all traffic my way, but if you find yourself in a really difficult situation, I'm happy to help you out. So with that said, are there any questions or anything you'd like me to address? Carla? Yes, go ahead.
Hi, yeah. I wanted to know, sometimes I get a little confused, and I have a couple employees that work under me too, and we get a little confused about whether we should submit a ticket to ANS IT or just do it directly to the main IT.
So that's a very good question. Arts and sciences is one area where we do have, earlier I had mentioned the ITO units. So that's one where ITO is part of campus outreach, which reports into Duane. So we do have essentially most of those folks built out into the system. Arts and sciences is one of them. But what we find is that, you know, I know that right now it seems like they're dealing with some staffing issues. So sometimes it may be better to reach out to them directly, but you can always reach out to us. We can submit a ticket. And if need be, if you're not hearing anything, our same status check process would work for the arts and sciences group as well.
Hey, Al, if I could add to that answer, and Carla, thank you for the question. One of the things that we are working with our IT officer group on is bringing everyone into using the same system consistently so that you no longer have to be concerned about, do I go to this site or do I go to this other site? A single site is our goal. It's going to take us a little while to get there. But in the meantime, as Al points out, any of these directions will get the request to the right area.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Sharina. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, like you've known me all my life. It's great. yeah, so I work on North Campus, and so a lot of my IT dealings are with At Salud, but whenever I need to work with the UNM side of things, things get really muddled. Like for some reason, so we do listservs for staff council, and whenever I try to add an attachment and I send it through staff council, nobody gets my attachments. And then on the Salud side of things, I've set up a booking system. So I run a laboratory, and so we get customers coming in booking my time using the Outlook calendar, but apparently nobody on the UNM side with an at UNM email address can use that booking system. And so the discontinuity between the at Salud email service and the at UNM service, I'm sure you're aware. And it hurts me. It hurts me quite a bit because I have to straddle both, and the workarounds are a little bit tough because things like having to reset the password and deal with cookies and clearing cache and things to do those workarounds have now meant that I've gone through 8 iterations of password changes just to access my at UNM side. And it's really difficult when I don't have the choice to synchronize them because it's been one of my past 20 passwords, which I'm not allowed to use. So I know it's hard, and I know it's a big university and a big IT community, but I just wanted to make you aware of some of the struggles that I'm dealing with. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. Dwayne, do you want to touch on anything before I respond?
Yeah, thank you, Sharina, for, you know, explaining the situation that you're dealing with. You know, as you suggest, that's not a new concern that we're hearing here for the first time. But I think when we hear from individuals and their specific stories, it really does paint the picture of how difficult we make collaboration across the entirety of the institution. And so just to speak to that element quickly and some of the things that we are working on. In the president's 2040 strategic plan, there is a goal, and I'm sure that this group more than most is very familiar with the strategic plan and the goals. And goal 5 is one university. And there is a task under one university that actually spawned from the president's idea scale forum that was put out there to get input from our institutional community, hospital, health sciences, main campus branches, the entirety of our organization. The top issue that was identified by all of us is the fact that we have separate directory systems on our campus, and specifically health and health sciences has one, and then the main campus has the other big one. We were tasked, and I say we, myself and Don Harrington, who is my counterpart CIO at Health and Health Sciences, we were tasked with formulating a team to look into how we best address that. And we have a 2-part process. The first part of that process was due in December of 2022. And that is, we presented a proposal to the executive leadership of the institution. So that's the president, the provost, the executive vice president for finance and administration, and the executive vice president for health and health sciences. And the proposal that we presented was to do a directory consolidation. What does that mean? That means combining our directory of users, which allows for us to better manage permissions into different applications. It allows us to really take a look at the different applications that we have and look for opportunities to consolidate where it makes sense, look for opportunities to maintain those separate applications where it makes sense, but provide easier collaboration into those systems. So that proposal for directory consolidation was unanimously approved by executive leadership. And we go into our next phase, which is planning. This is a big deal. This looking at how we make it easier to collaborate across our campus is something that we're, you know, addressing many, many years of history and looking at how to do it better on a go forward basis. So our initial target to have that plan put together is the end of this fiscal year. So by June 30, that is our target. There's a lot of projects going on that could interfere with that initial timing. So I just want to, you know, manage expectations there. But it is a priority for both of our groups, and that process has already begun. The end goal of that is to address a lot of the collaboration issues that you have identified, as well as a myriad of other issues that make it difficult for us to work together at one university. So I wanted to make you all aware that that project and that effort is underway. And I also want to dispel the most common concern when we start to talk about something like that. And that is the health and health science users, regardless of directory consolidation, will continue to have the @salud email addresses. It's not changing email addresses. It's changing the directory system so that we're all in one place. But you can still maintain the specific identities in terms of email that we have come to rely on.
Thank you, Dwayne. And real quick, just one more thing for Sharina before we move on. So Sharina, I'll reach out directly. I've got some ideas on all the things that you mentioned. There's sort of some common things that we see. But I just want to mention this to anybody on this meeting is that we very much believe in situational accountability and ownership. So if ever you find yourself, you know, we see it often where just sort of folks get bounced around, and we want to do everything we can to stop that. So if ever you feel like you're in one of those situations, feel free to ask anybody at the 277-5757, say, hey, you know, I feel like I'm getting bounced around, or I may get bounced around. Can you all help me through this situation? We regularly do conference calls where we will speak with, you know, admissions, the registrar, HSC IT, with the user on the line as well, just so that we can sort of help get to a better resolution faster. So if ever anybody feels like that is needed, please ask. We're happy to do it.
Sharina, did we answer your question, or at least make some headway on the concern?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate it, because I know that's not a small thing. And I know you guys do stuff for security, but that's another thing. Sometimes the security, it hurts my machines that have proprietary softwares that run machines. So I've actually had to get at least one computer that runs my machines re-imaged all the way back in Seattle, because of the security updates. And I know there's no easy fix. And I know you guys are doing your best. So thanks so much for your answers.
Thank you.
Very welcome. I think Sierra was next.
Thank you. And I think that actually just answered most of my concern. It was basically, I'm on North Campus and I'm an advisor. So I often work closely with main campus advisors and teams for just a specific functionality. I find out an hour later that they emailed me, or that they messaged me on Teams. So just letting you know that it sounds like it'll be fixed with the directory thing, but that was an issue. And then for us health science folks, please note that it's 277-5757. My department is 272-5757, and we get probably about 100 calls a day. So thank you.
Are you with emergency management or the emergency medicine?
Okay. Yep, that's us.
Sierra, my very first phone number 27 years ago when I started at the university was the 277 version of the 272 number that was for the pharmacy. And so I would spend half of my day fielding calls about prescriptions.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
And just a quick thing to note, Sierra, is that I don't know what sort of ACD functionality you all have, but I can also help you walk you through adding front end messages. We regularly change our ACD scripts to help guide folks. So if that's something that you would like to discuss further, feel free to send me an email and I'm happy to give you some recommendations on what we could do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Gilbert?
Good afternoon. I'm about a week ago, I got an email saying that I needed to make a choice between my UNM.edu or my salute.unm.edu. And they directed me to a website, a link. I pressed on that link and I got a message from UNMH Hospital saying this was a possible spam. So then I reported it to the, what is it? As a possible, I can't think of what
it's like a phishing email.
Like a spam, yeah. So then I checked the sender and I found out she was actually in the email address. And it didn't have an outside source. And I asked if she could resend it to me and that give me some more information about what's going on. And I haven't received anything as yet.
Yeah, so that there is a major phishing campaign going on right now that says exactly that. That is essentially, you have two accounts listed. If you don't respond, one will be deleted. You know, unfortunately, the campaigns are getting very good and they're getting harder and harder to spot. But that is definitely a phishing email. The easiest way that I would sort of recommend is that if you get any email talking about ultimatums or that things will be deleted or bad things are going to happen, those are typically phishing. I mean, as staff members, it gets a little bit different for students because with student accounts, there is a 3-semester period after they graduate before the account would actually go into the deletion cycle. But when it comes to staff and faculty, as long as you have active roles with Banner, nothing should happen to your account. It's, you know, so if you get anything threatening like that, chances are it's a phishing email.
Normally, a lot of those says, you know, coming outside the university. This one. Yeah.
And that's what's difficult right now is one of the biggest things that we implemented recently, well, somewhat recently, was multi-factor authentication. That cut down our compromises significantly. But what we have now is basically the person that sent you that email fell for the phishing scheme. And what they did was they provided their credentials into the system. So that basically allowed it to where it could be sent from an actual real user at UNM. So that's another way to spot it is if you don't know somebody, you always could check the directory to see, does this person work with HR or something? If they're saying, you know, we're going to delete you and terminate you, do they work for HR? And if they do, it would probably be worth calling HR to say, is this legitimate? But most of the time, those things are not legitimate.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I also put in the chat a resource for our fishbowl where we do keep track of current fishes that are hitting our campus. That is another good resource that if you get a suspicious email, go take a look at that fishbowl site and you might find it or something very similar to it already posted out there. But the report phishing button is absolutely the right way to bring attention to these. It's a Microsoft feature, and it looks for when people report, it will actually, Microsoft will start blocking those emails. And so it's important that you help us with that.
Yeah. I believe, Amy, you are next.
Thanks. And thanks for coming. I just, Jill's comments reminded me of something positive, and I know how hard it is to hear something positive in a Q&A session, so I wanted to share it with you. And that is, you all are doing a great job with the gamification of reporting phishing. I know what you're doing, and I still get excited when I report one and I get the congratulation email. So great job getting us all involved in that.
Thank you. I will be sure to pass that along to, his name is Lawrence. He's the manager of the security group. I'll be sure.
I know Lawrence.
Okay.
Perfect. So you can tell him it was me if you want.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Amy.
Alrighty. Any other questions that we can address? All righty. Well, thank you all for having us. If there's anything that comes up, feel free to let us know.
And if you would like for us to come back and speak of my IT, we'd be happy to get that scheduled with you all if there's still an interest there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You guys are welcome to stick around or leave if you have to. So, yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On to reports, President's report, President Ortiz.
Joe, great. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I found that really helpful, and I'm looking forward to their next presentation. So to update you guys on some things that have happened in the last month, I'm sure that many of you are aware that the vaccine requirement for the COVID-19 vaccine is potentially going to be discontinued. And last week we had a virtual public forum. I don't know if you all saw, but I had asked communications at UNM if they could put out a recording of that forum for folks who weren't able to see it. And the president did send that link out last night in the president's weekly perspective. And it should also be going out in the UNM News Minute. So if you have any constituents who wanted to attend and were not able to, please forward that on to them. I thought it was a really good session. It was wonderful to hear actual science about it. I was glad that they did that. Some other things that have been happening, of course, we had UNM Day up in Santa Fe. It was really exciting to go do that in person. It's been a few years since we were able to do that. And speaking about UNM Day, I just want to give you all a heads up that I had mentioned to President Stokes that we had a resolution on our agenda today in support of the legislative priorities. And she thought that that was really wonderful. So I know the administration is happy that we are in support of the priorities. Speaking of legislative priorities, that leads us into budget stuff. So now we're going to have some sad news, right? And that is that all forecasts as of right now indicate that our 10% request for a comp will not even be anywhere close to what we're going to get. So it's most likely that we will get 5% for compensation. But this is not a done deal. This is just a projection. So keep that in mind. It's not something I would necessarily send out to your constituents. It's also not a big secret. You know, the legislature, you can go onto the website and you can read what's happening in committees. You can see what the executive recommendation was, which was 4%. And so that's a little bit, it's really a big downer, but we will continue advocating and see what we get towards the end of the month. Some other unfortunate news is that we are expecting that healthcare premiums are going to go up significantly this year. So again, projections, nothing firm, don't know exactly what it's going to be, but I do expect that we're going to see a fairly significant increase to healthcare premiums. So that's the bad news. The good news is that UNM is working on getting a staff survey tool. Our own Jean Henley is on that committee working with HR on the RFP. And we hope to be able to start getting staff surveys out as early as this year. This is something we have not really done as far as like a staff satisfaction survey. I know we've had our diversity survey and some other surveys along the way, but we haven't had a regular staff satisfaction survey that I can remember. And the last time we had a staff satisfaction survey, I think was around a decade ago. So this is long overdue. I'm very excited about that. And I think it's important for our retention efforts at UNM that we can really have that data sent into administration about why folks are leaving. What is it that you're most unhappy with? What is it that you're happiest with? What can we do more of? So once that comes out, I hope you'll all help in advertising that to staff. I want to just also end by saying that, you know, we're continuing to advocate on behalf of staff council and staff for better access to behavioral health services, for campus safety. We're also not dropping our request to have the self-report criminal conviction form eliminated now that we have mandatory background checks for all positions. So that's what we're working on right now. I hope that you will feel free to reach out with anything else that you'd like us to take on and advocate for your constituents. And with that, I will stand for questions if there are any.
Go ahead, Jessica.
I think this is more of a comment than a question about the healthcare premiums. Dr. Z, I can't pronounce his full last name, had sent out some sort of survey. And one thing I commented was that it's almost impossible as a UNM employee with UNM healthcare to get an appointment with a UNM doctor. Like my doctor's like, oh, make an appointment. And I call and they're like, it'll be 1 year. I don't even know why I'm paying for this insurance, but that's my thoughts on the matter. It's very frustrating. Sorry, my dogs are going nuts over here.
You're right, Jessica. It's a statewide problem. And so may not make you feel any better to know that it's not just UNM healthcare subscribers that are having that issue. It's a really serious issue, and we've talked to Dr. Z about it. But I appreciate you bringing it up.
Are there any other questions for Amy? Go ahead, Councilor Bertha.
Well, I can just speak to the fact that I work in internal medicine, and the issue is a cost issue. And the issue is also that here in the state of New Mexico, especially at the hospital, faculty don't get paid very well. And it's been very hard even to recruit doctors. So I can speak to the fact that it's hard to get doctors here in the state. So that is also the reason why there's such a wait. I work for rheumatology and infectious diseases both. And sadly, rheumatology is booked out more than a year, and it's just difficult. So it is a bummer that we are having to incur cost because of that. But that's the status of the healthcare system. So.
Okay, thank you. Sharina?
I just wanted to add one more thing. So it's one thing to wait for your own appointment, right? Because I agree with Jessica. Sometimes it takes a long time. But I want to add another layer of complication. In order for my daughter to continue getting autism services, it needs to be approved by Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is, you know, the corporate is what we chose through our, you know, healthcare stuff. But they are demanding that every 3 years she gets reevaluated by psych. And right now it's a 3-year wait list. So we're about to lose autism services for something that is not curable, because we're stuck in this loop of, well, it's not UNM's Blue Cross Blue Shield, right? But that's what we have, is demanding a reevaluation on a timeline that we cannot meet by living in the state. So that's a really tough position to be in. The end. Thanks.
Serena, would you send me an email either to my regular email or SC president? And let me see if I can get with HR. I don't know if there's anything we can do, but sometimes we have some concierge service with Blue Cross. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, are there any other questions? So I'll move on to our executive committee report with President-elect Pestino.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see you all. I just have a couple of things to touch on. Mostly the resolutions that you will be seeing here were brought forward to the executive committee. And we did recommend that it be brought forward for you guys to consider here. Those of you who sent out postcards to their legislatures, we do appreciate that very much. I know the proposed outcome of that is nowhere near close to what we had requested, but that only helps to let them know that there is more need, really, and even the 10% we requested is not something that can really cover what staff are going through. Let's keep on it. We should not ever give up on that. I wanted to bring your attention to a research-based survey that's going around basic needs, really focusing on food insecurity for faculty, staff, and students. So if you have had a chance to see that, please go ahead and take it. I think it will help sort of drive some of the issues and what kind of solutions will come out of addressing the food insecurity issues here within UNM and within our community. I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, thank you. Serena, do you still have a question? Sorry, Aaron is still up.
I guess. Sorry, thanks for pointing that out.
Thank you. So next is the speaker's report. I have a few appointments to make. With unanimous consent and without objection, I would like to appoint Ryan Logan to the IT committee. Is there any objection to that? Not seeing any. For another appointment, I, without objection and unanimous consent, I would like to appoint Dina Duran to the Staff Success Committee. Is there any objection to that? That's all for that. I just want to discuss the unanimous consent thing. That's if there are no objection and unanimous consent. It's okay to object if you find you can't let go of what we've passed. I usually try to pause quite a bit to see if there are any objections. And what that, if you object, what that does is it automatically, we have to vote on it as a council. And so that's basically what I wanted to remind everyone. It's okay to object if you don't. The reason I do the unanimous consent without objection is we get through things a lot faster, but I don't want us to go too fast if you don't like what we're proposing. And also, I just want to remind when you make amendments to, this is my 2 second tidbit. If you make amendments, you could only do 2 changes to an amendment to a motion or a resolution at a time. You can't bunch it up all in one. So keep that in mind. That's all that I have. Are there any questions for me? Not seeing anything, we'll go on to treasure report with Carla.
Hi, I have a report. I'll show my screen. Okay, can you see this? All right. First, I'm going to go to this bottom part first, because I want to discuss a little bit more about the Staff Appreciation Index. So first we have the Staff Council Operations, and that, as we all know, that's how Amy uses that budget for the operations of her office. The Outstanding Supervisor Award, again, there's a little bit of revenue that puts the carryover for the fiscal year 24 at $1,185. The Gerald May recognition, there was a little bit of revenue, $767. So I added that to the potential carryover for fiscal 24, $2,200 in the Gerald May index. So then we'll go on to the biggie. So what we're trying to really, you guys have all been doing a great job of submitting your requests and being very cognitive of the finances. That was duly noted in the ISS budget, mid-year budget report that Amy gave. She had with all the bigwigs, Teresa Consonetis, in a budget review. And so it was duly noted that she gave kudos to all of you guys for really being conscious of our spending and how to spend this money down. So on that note, we have, this is the, as of today, this is what's showing available on the very top. What I did is to kind of keep these on a more grounded level. As of today, I would say to rewards and recognition that this amount, the 2100, is 80% of staff appreciation, and that would be their ballpark amount to go for to spend. Okay, and we're going to keep it that way, because then anything, I'm going to start tracking the other 20%. Because there are some little things that are coming in, and though it chunks away, I don't want to keep coming back and telling you have less and less when you haven't even spent, encumbered anything yet. So let's keep this at the 21 ballpark, and then the 5,400 for extra. We do have a few things that came in for approval. They're listed right here. One of them is the Black History Month. Tanya Covington will be doing a presentation. She only required $100 fee, but that's like kind of that's so low for somebody of her expertise. So, staff council executive recommended $500, which they all approved, and we all approved. And so we are recommend, we have put that, I encumbered that into the other events budget. Staff of students requested amount is still in there, and that's not coming up till April. So so in total there's 2,035, and that makes 3,433 for other items. Still trying to keep this 21 for the staff appreciation events, which they are working really hard on. I've attended one of their meetings, and they are doing a fantastic job of pulling other people and resources together to try to come up with the best staff appreciation week that we can. I also want to note that in the meeting that Amy Ortiz and Amy Hawkins and I attended with the budget review, it was noted by Teresa Consonetis that President Stokes really, really liked the breakfast event. So kudos to all of you who put that on, and kudos to keeping it very money conscientious for future events. That was like a fantastic thing everybody did. So I just want to really I'm very proud of this group for really keeping things in check and doing a great event. And that's it for my report. Any questions? Come on. I'm just kidding. Oh, ahead, Grace
got it. I'm not going to let you go without a question. So I'm going to ask a question for you. Actually, not a question, but thank you so much, Carla, for sort of constantly keeping us aware of where we stand on our budget, that way we spend responsibly, as we are all stewards of monies that the taxpayer gives us. That's my little spiel, but I really do appreciate you taking time to break it down for us. Speaking about the staff appreciation, and I'm sure Yede will do another shout out, is we are still looking for planning group members. So if you have just a little bit of time to spare, come spend it with us and plan out this event. So you don't have to attend every meeting, but please come.
Thanks, Grace. Anybody else? No? Okay, I'm done.
Thank you, Carla. Moving right along, committee reports, the Ethics Committee. Jessica?
Yes, the Ethics Committee did not have a formal meeting this month. We don't have any new or old business, so we did not have a meeting.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Rules and election. I know Mark has things. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. Good afternoon, all you counselors. Thank you for being here. We do have some business to take care of with rules and elections here and the full staff council. As you know, we are in grade election season for 2023, and there's a whole lot of stuff according to our election code that we have to do to make sure this goes appropriately and fairly. And so today, what is due is for me to present to y'all the 2023 staff council grade elections counselor distribution that we're proposing for the full staff council to approve today. So I have a very, very short PowerPoint that I'll share and give you all the stats. So here we go. All right. Can everybody see that? Okay. So now let me go over here. So first of all, I always want to say that this is from our election code, which is one of our governing documents. And I have a few parts that are pertinent to today's presentation, but I always want to encourage everybody to read all of our governing documents. And so you can get our election code, our constitution, our bylaws here at the governing documents on our website. So please go ahead and look at that when you have a chance so you know what's going on. So for the staff council election code, basically just a couple of quick things. Article 2, Section 1B dictates that 30 members of the staff council shall be elected to represent the division of staff employment grades, which we're doing this year. Of course, 30 are on even years for precincts. And this all describes how we just came upon what I'm going to propose to you today. So each grade shall be represented. However, grades may be combined if necessary to provide sufficient numbers of staff to complete a seat within the deviation from average that I will talk about later, and provided further that the combination with another grade is with immediately adjacent grades. And then a grade or combined grades may be represented by more than one counselor as well. And this is an odd number of years, like 2023. Second important note is Article 2, Section 1D, each grade or precinct seat shall be as close in number to the average number for the grades or precincts elected that year. And that average is determined by taking the full number of eligible voting UNM staff that year and dividing that number by 30 for 30 grade counselors. Deviations from the average number shall, wherever possible, be less than 15%. If a deviation is proposed that's greater than 15%, we just have to point that out to the full staff council, and it'll only be allowed with the approval of all y'all and all of us, which is appropriate. And then the last part to note for where we are now in this process is Article 2, Section 2A. The number of employees used to set grade or precinct seats shall be determined by the number of employees in the various grades or organization codes no later than January 31st. And Amy Hawkins, our administrator, provided us that number in the appropriate timeframe, as she always does. Once the number has been set, the division of grades or precinct shall be made by the Rules and Elections Committee and presented to the full staff council for its approval at the regularly scheduled February meeting of the staff council, which is today. And so obviously presenting today means we met earlier this month and created our proposal. So now for what we actually want to look at, this is the breakdown. And so I want to start here on the right with a tiny little sheet here. So Amy provided us that the total employee count at this time was 4,489 staff. And this is represented by Maine and HSC staff, because, of course, we do not actually at this time represent branch campuses. And as it said in our election code, we need to have a total of 30 grade counselors. And then to find that average number of staff that each of these 30 counselors should represent is you obviously divide that 4489 by 30. And we did, and we got 150, basically. And then to determine the 15% deviation either way, we found that each counselor should represent between 127 and 172 staff members. So we come over here to the larger table, and you see for 2023, as far as grades, UNM has grades 5 through 19. And you can see here, these are the number of employees that are employed at each grade currently. And here I have our proposed number of counselors to support those grades within the deviation. And I'll go through that a little more specifically. And then here I have the comments on how we made this happen within the correct parameters. So what we proposed here is that we group grades 5, 6, and 7 together. And that's currently how it's been for the last grade election in 2021. And by keeping all three together, you can see that we would have within our range 138 staff represented by each counselor if we have three counselors representing this whole group. The reason we put them all together is, first of all, as you can see, 6 does not have enough employees to support its own counselor technically, and 5 has more than does. But historically, it's been more difficult to recruit or encourage people to nominate themselves from these grades 5, 6, and 7. So we pulled them together to hopefully get enough representation for all of them. So it could be by grouping them, we could get 2 7s and 1 6, 2 7s and 1 5. And for the election code, that would work. So that's why we decided to group 5 through 7 to give us the best chance of getting enough support for all of those staff. And then we had a similar situation here. We recommended that we grouped grades 8 and 9 for a total of 3 counselors for the 2 grades, because they both have a higher number than just being able to be supported by 1. And so basically, if we have a third, either 2 8s and 1 9 or 2 9s and 1 8, the counselors that support them will have an in-range, not burden, but you know, number of staff to represent. Then we see here we have a lot of grade 10s. If we give them 3 counselors, they're within range. Grade 11 has a lot as well. They would require 4 to be in range. Grade 12 has even more, but they would still require 4 to be in range. Grade 13, as you can see, has the most employees currently. So we would need 5 grade 13 grade representatives. And then grade 15 will have 2. And you can see it's slightly over a 15% deviation by 0.3%. And that does not actually account for a full staff member either. But just to let you know, it's not exactly 15%. And then we decided to group at the higher grades as well. So grades 16 through 19, you can see we have very few employees in 17 through 19. So we grouped all 4 of those. Again, the same reason for why we grouped up here with the lower grades is because it's also hard to recruit from the higher grades historically to serve on the staff council. So what we suggested here is to group grades 16 through 19 for a total of 2 counselors to make sure that number of staff have an in-range representation. And of course, we hope to have more representation from group grade 16 just because they have a larger amount of employees. So when we add up all of these numbers with how many counselors we need for each, it does equal a total of 30 counselors. And it is all within our 15% deviation range from the average of 150 per our election code. So we decided this was probably the most efficient format to propose to the full staff council to approve. So I'll make the formal motion on behalf of the Staff Council Rules and Elections Committee. I move to approve the 2023 Staff Council grade election distribution as presented.
Are there any questions or discussion on this motion? It doesn't need a second because it's coming from committee. No one has any questions on this. Okay, so with unanimous consent without objection, we can accept this motion. Are there any objections? The motion is passed. Thank you, everyone. Does anyone have any questions for Mark while he's here? Or do you have anything else, Mark?
I do not have anything else at the moment, and I appreciate everybody supporting this motion. So I believe it's the best way to get the correct number of counselors to support all of our staff. So have a great day, everybody. And that is my report for today.
Okay, thank you. Communication and marketing.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi.
First of all, I appreciate having that fantastic presentation on redistricting. That was terrific. Communications and marketing did not meet mainly because the new chairman forgot that he was the new chairman and did not convene the committee. But we have nothing to report this month unless I will defer to the president-elect. I have forgotten something. Grace?
No, you did not. Thank you.
And the committee will remember to convene in the coming month. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Environmental and environmental sustainability. Sharina?
Hi. Our last meeting and the meeting prior to that was really just preparing for our very first in our series of our Lunch and Learn talks, which turns out was, I think it was very well received. And we had about 30 people with a great Q&A conversation. So we really just talked about the post survey, the post talk survey that we did with QR code. We got really nice responses back from that. So that's information and data that we can use to improve. We also have a video, and maybe from the survey, we're looking into maybe requesting a listserv for anybody who's interested in the series for the future. And again, just to remind everybody that our bigger goal is to make relationships so that we can gather annual reports that will eventually serve to inform the UNM community about our energy use, our water use, how we're handling different waste streams, and even, you know, how we choose to order to order food, whether we're choosing locally produced food sources to feed our community. So we talked about maybe looking into what speakers would be next for the different topics. And specifically, we talked about food and wanted to ask if we have any branch campus representatives here or know anybody. If anybody here that's listening has any suggestions for us about who to contact at the branch campuses to sort of ask how those locations make those choices for food. Somebody also brought up the idea of, I guess staff council did sponsor in the past, the medicinal planters that are just outside the basketball courts on the HSC side of campus, and perhaps contacting landscaping to sort of
reinvigorate those planters and have an opening for Earth Day and making it a, you know, a main campus, HSC campus kind of event. And yeah, that's everything. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Serena? Go ahead, Grace.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. Serena, I just want to appreciate you and your committee for doing the work that you're doing. Your comment about Earth Day sort of like juggled my memory and the medicinal containers. Along those lines, I was wondering whether UNM or in collaboration with the city can basically put a campaign out for rain barrels, right? Those of you who collect water perhaps can then tap into that and use those at their houses to collect rain. That's just an idea out there along the same lines as the medicinal containers.
That's awesome. I think I did talk with one of the speakers about the plausibility of that. And I think there was a technical issue just with the amount of total rainfall and evaporation in between rain, but I can ask again if that's a thing, but that's definitely something wonderful to talk about. We've talked about that as well as instituting gray water systems, which recycles, you know, different grades of water for different purposes. So either we can touch base on that on another lunch and learn to see about the plausibility. I think that'd be great. Also, I just wanted to mention, for this and all other future events, one thing that came up was, you know, looking at all the different ways we can better advertise around campus and all the different electronic boards and listservs that it sounds like there's not just one central place where we can tap into all those, but, you know, they're sprinkled here and there. So it's one thing for us to, we're learning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, government relations with Councillor Mary Phipps.
Hi, guys. Can everyone hear me? I've been having some issues. Okay. Last week on the Government Relations Committee, we had a very successful postcard campaign to the legislature. So I really want to thank everyone for all of your help and support with that. And letting me know when you didn't get postcards, I'm going to be writing up some SOPs for that so that we will know how to do that a little bit better next time and that the knowledge will continue. I sent you all a resolution about supporting the legislative priorities for fiscal year 2024. I want to shout out to Sierra for writing that up so beautifully. It was perfect. During our meeting, we did have some discussions about things we need to learn as a committee so that we can better engage the legislature at UNM Day and year round. So I would also like to bring that to the full staff council. If there's anything government relations wise that you would like us to present on or you would like to know about, please email me and let me know so that we can plan to really have a more robust government relations committee in the next year. I think our next, now that the postcard campaign is over, our next thing to focus on is going to be some capital outlay requests. We will be formulating that during our next meeting, and I'll be presenting that all to you next month. Does anyone have any questions? All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Councillor Phipps. Next, the HSCS Committee, the Health Science Committee. Is there anyone here? I don't think Christine is here, but does anybody here want to discuss what she discussed? Oh, no.
I am not the chair, but we did not meet this last month. We do have something we will hopefully be meeting about this upcoming month. Call has been put out for that meeting, but nothing to report this time.
Sorry, I just noticed I just skipped accidentally diversity, equity, and inclusion. Sorry, Angie. Go ahead.
Oh, no worries. Thanks. So we were working on Black History Month, but also at the last meeting spent a lot of time on the Academic Freedom Resolution that we'll talk about. But I wanted to call on Sharina again to talk about our Black History Month event.
Hi, so I just wanted to share, if I can, that thanks to the stars aligning for a while, I was not, I was putting out a lot of feelers and not getting a lot of responses, but I was able to secure Miss Tanya Covington, who is currently Albuquerque's Rapid Accountability Diversion Program Manager, to give a talk to close out Black History Month observances at UNM. So her topic will be uncovering the truth, the impact of long-held misconceptions on healthcare inequalities for Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities. So this, thank you so much, Grace, for putting together the flyer, and it has the Zoom link. Thank you, everybody, for working together to make this happen. We really have just under 2 weeks to advertise this event. It's going to be a Zoom event, and we hope that all the counselors here can help us spread the word. We'll be sending out this flyer to through the regular channels, but please disperse it widely. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the DEI committee? And thank you, Sharina, for getting this going. So moving along, the IT committee, Councillor Terrell.
Hi, how's it going? We had some discussions about, well, we reviewed, there was a survey that went out kind of at the beginning of pandemic, trying to see how it was like the general feel of how staff are feeling working remotely, et cetera. But it really focused more on kind of general pandemic feeling and everything along those lines. And so from an information technologies, we were looking at wanting to actually send out a new survey to see how people are doing with working remotely, and to see if there's any, you know, specific technologies that people have adopted or might have found that may help other members of the staff community in their remote work, or any issues that they may be having, so that we could kind of look at that and see about addressing or, you know, adopting new technologies that may help staff in their either hybrid or remote work environments. We also had a discussion along this. Oh, we also have, so back to the discussion about spam phishing and that kind of stuff, that there may be new technologies that both UNM Health and UNMIT are looking at adopting called Blocks Run Threat Defense. So we'll look at maybe presenting here and a couple of months to help, you know, show and demonstrate ways to help alleviate phishing campaigns in addition to what IT is already doing. Other things we're looking at is, you know, provisioning of VMs. You know, there's some of the IT staff at the different departments have access to provision VMs. So we were talking about along those lines. We may have a question to send out, but we need to look at being able to approach that appropriately to be able to send out a survey along those lines. And finally, there was the discussion about the staff, the MyUNM staff page. And so it looks like IT is going to be coming back to do a presentation on that as well. And so I look forward to that in the future. And then discussions around, yeah, again, remote campus working, virtual desktops and that kind of stuff. So if you guys have any questions along those lines, we can certainly look at that or look at future presentations.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Terrell. Are there any questions for our IT committee? Moving right along, Rewards and Recognition Committee, either Yade or Grace.
Grace already said I was doing it. So
I can't back out now. But Grace, I don't know the numbers if we have any Jim Davis submissions. So I sent an email out to everybody asking for you to submit nominations for the Jim Davis Award. The nomination form is open this month, and then it will close at the end of the month. I'll be sending an email out to all of you to ask for anyone who's interested in helping score that. It is an award for staff council members that are scored by the broader council as well. And I hope you can join us for the award ceremony on, I think, April 15th, 16th, somewhere in there. It was in the email that I sent you. And it's also in the weekly email that comes out. And I see some hands for Jim Davis, so I'll stop at that statement before I get into the other things that the committee has been up to.
Okay, go ahead, Grace. That's
great. Yeah, I just wanted to give you an answer to your question. We do not have nominations as of yet, so this is another call, basically, from us.
Thank you, Grace.
Okay, Councillor Madeline, go ahead.
Thank you. I just had a quick question about... just to clarify, are non-elected staff council members, so like someone that's maybe serving on a committee but is not elected to serve on the staff council, are they also able to qualify for this award? Do they need to be like appointed to the council itself? How does that work?
So the criteria is listed on the website. Is that they are currently or have been a member in good standing with the staff council, standing committees or ad hoc committees. They've served as council representative or committee member for at least 1 year, and they haven't received it for 5 years. So whoever Joe or Amy Hawkins, since you've been in charge of this way before me, I only know what the website says. So does that mean, because the way I read it, that they can be as long as they've been active in standing committees as well as committee members for at least a year, but if it's a staff member that's not a counselor, are they eligible?
Yeah, this is Amy. That's a great question, Madeline and Yade. So that's how I interpret that. Is currently or has been a member in good standing with staff council, standing committees, or ad hoc committees. So yes, they can be a member of any of those three categories.
Thank you. And I sent the email on Tuesday the 14th at 1:04 p.m. to the staff counselors dash L.
I can send it out again too.
Yeah, I can send it again. I'm just...
I know how inboxes work.
Identifying where it went. Any other questions about Jim Davis before I move on? So the next big thing that we're working on is Staff Appreciation Week. If you're on the committee or you previously submitted interest in participating in helping plan that, I'm going to be sending information out over the next day or two to start planning that event. If you're interested in participating and you haven't previously expressed it, you can just shoot me an email and I can add you to that list. You can put it in the chat to me now, however you want to do it. I'll accept anything we can get. We will be moving forward with planning that. I don't have any additional details at this time, as life has made us not yet convene to have any information to present to you. So I think, unless I'm missing anything, that's all we have right now. Just putting it in all of your ears, come May, when Grace steps up into the president position, she can no longer be my co-chair. I would much appreciate a co-chair. So if anyone wants to be on the R&R committee and also be my co-chair, definitely let me know. That's also assuming right now I'm a grade 12 rep, but I'm a grade 13 staff now. So I have to run for election. So I might not even be elected. So if not, I can still co-chair, but I have to have someone on the council to run that. So that's also something to keep in mind. Unless you have questions for me, I'm done now. Or if Grace has any other additional details.
I just want to say that you're going to win. Well, will it happen? So. Yeah.
Thank you, Yade. Thank you, Grace. Staff Success Committee, Madeline.
Yeah, thank you. So I don't have a whole bunch to report. We do have a new meeting time for the staff success committee meetings. Those will be the first Tuesday of every month at 11 a.m. Previously, they were the second Monday of every month at noon. And most of our meetings are Zoom at this point. So if you are interested in joining the committee, it'll be the first Tuesday of every month at 11. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that the Staff is Students Day is coming up on April 3rd. That's a Monday. I've had a few requests come in for departments that have either not tabled in the past or are wanting a table this time around. And I've also had a few departments say, no, we're not able to host a table this year. So if you have or your department or a department that you know is interested in tabling at the event and aren't sure if there's still tables available, we do still have a couple. So there's a little bit of extra space if anybody wants to come fill it. And there's also going to be a table just for departments that cannot make it to share information. So I'm kind of coordinating that information, drop off, flyers, whatever. So if you also want to just share some flyers from your department, we'll have a table for that. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Madeline? I have one question, I guess that's... hopefully Todd got back to you that he is hosting the library table. Just thought I'd ask that.
Yes, you do have a table for the library.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Not seeing any strategic planning, Grace.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. The committee has not met. We are thinking of meeting quarterly. So what we're doing right now is putting together a transitional document that's actually being put together by Deirdre. I need to give a shout out to her. But we will be presenting that when we meet in March.
Okay, thank you. And the UNM policy review, I guess, again, it's Grace.
Yes, we have not met. Everything is sort of on hold right now, pending any new policies that are coming out or any revisions that are put out for public comment. So keep an eye out.
Sarah, are there any other questions for Grace on the UNIP policy? Not seeing any. Councillor comments. Are there any councillor any councillors who would like to make a comment at this time? Announcements or whatever you'd like to make.
Nope. I would like to.
Go ahead.
I'm part of the Rewards and Recognition Committee, and we had a staff counselor, former staff counselor, who for years worked on the PAWS award baskets out of her own time and a lot of her own cost, honestly, in the beginning. She retired at the end of December, so we have been trying to coordinate something to get an appreciation award together for Celeste Cole. It's already the end of February, and she's been gone since the end of December, so we had created, and I'm digging through my emails trying to find it, a request for donations from council members if anybody wanted to contribute a few bucks, so that we can go out and purchase her a gift card from some local business or restaurant. I'm not sure if we can get that sent out to people, but she did a lot of work for a lot of years on behalf of our committee, putting those baskets together. My understanding is she had a basket business that she did this for different nonprofits, and she did it for many years for staff council. I have since taken over getting those award baskets prepared. And I was quite honestly shocked when I went to her house because she sent me out with a wagon of supplies and stuff that I had to bring back here to my office. So I'm wondering if we can get that email sent out or if there's a link, Yade, that maybe you can put in the comment section so that if people are interested, it doesn't have to be a lot. I think if all of us pitch in a few bucks, we would be able to get her an award. And I just saw Amy's comment also. I agree.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. Lorena?
Just a quick reminder to take the staff survey, if you haven't already, for the Campus Climate Staff Survey that's out right now. That was all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other comments? Okay, moving to the new business. Who wants to present the resolution number one, the defending academic freedom? Is that Angie?
It can be me, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Put it up on the screen. Or I could, but I think.
I had it up a minute ago. Let me see if I could find it. There it is. Can everybody see that?
So just housekeeping, I don't think this is an amendment because it's a mistake. A it should be number one rather than
number two.
Rather than number two.
I don't think I can change it. Oh, maybe I can. Yeah. Okay,
all go right, ahead. So, this went out in email, and just briefly, the Faculty Senate requested that staff council support their academic freedom resolution. So I would like to move that staff council passed staff council resolution number one, academic freedom for faculty and staff.
Second.
And then I think someone has to second that.
Second.
It's been second. Is there any discussion on it? Go ahead, Madeline.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Just about maybe getting a little bit of context. First, is there concern that some of the actions addressed in this bill are already being discussed or taking place at UNM, or is this just proactive, kind of in response to maybe what other schools are doing?
If that's directed to me. So there have been local actions on school boards, et cetera, but I think for the most part, it's proactive nationally making this statement right now in terms of UNM.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Stephen. That's for Stephen.
Hi. How long do I have to talk?
2 minutes.
Okay. So I oppose this resolution. CRT is a Marxist ideology and is something that should not be glorified. As we've seen throughout history, hundreds of millions of people have been murdered or starved to death because of what Karl Marx proposed. Not only were they murdered and starved, but they were censored. And this whole resolution clearly supports censoring ideas. I do not support any resolution or movement that looks to censor people or divide them by any category. And if you know what Marx proposed, this is what it looks like. Teaching people that they're oppressors or victims is not a way to build a functioning society. This is what CRT teaches. It teaches minorities that they are victims and incapable. The section where it says, whereas multiple states have already passed or in the process, states do have a right to debate issues and govern themselves. The lines of limiting academic freedom by targeting is a dishonest statement, especially as we consider opposition is towards false teaching, course thought, and Marxist CRT. The second point, whereas multiple school districts are attempting to pass book bans, school districts do have the right to govern their schools as they are led by school boards, which are elected by the people of those communities. And to be clear, school should have the right to ban books that are pushing a false narrative and books that contain sexually inappropriate materials to children. Ironically, I would point to the fact that many schools have removed the Bible. In section 5, where it says the university is dependent on unfettered flow of ideas, not only in the classroom and the laboratory, but also in all university activities. I absolutely agree with this statement, but I can assure you based on personal experience, my ideas are not allowed. Faculty only want me to pair what they say, and if I do not pair, I receive failing grades or lose my job. I have been insulted by faculty and staff because I don't share their points of view, because I'm a Christian, because I'm conservative, and to be honest, UNM seems to be okay with that. And this institution does not value freedom of expression. Not a few months ago, speakers on campus were driven out by student mob. I agree that appropriate response to bad speech is more speech. It is ironic that this resolution calls for unfettered flow of ideas, while at the same time calling for less speech. And to wrap up, this resolution is hypocritical and everything stated in it is not truth. When we look closer at this resolution, when we see faculty and staff who want to maintain the status quo, faculty want to say things, want to say anything and not be accountable for what they say and teach. I would argue that faculty do not want to be challenged on their ideas, but are quick to shut down any other thoughts that they don't like. They say in this document that to combat bad ideas, to share other ideas. How does that work if only one type of idea is allowed? This resolution is intellectually dishonest. And finally, I want to make clear that I agree with diversity in all forms. However, this resolution and faculty staff that I know and have experienced only want diversity of race and do not care about diversity of thought, diversity of political point of view, and diversity of religious points of view, which is the perfect Marxist strategy.
Okay, your time is up. Are there any other comments? Go ahead.
Sorry. I have another question, but I also want to create space for other people. But one of the initiatives that I know the Anderson School of Management is working on is having advisory councils that come from outside entities of the university to have a say in what we teach, really to share about what's going on in the industry and what employers are looking for. And I have just a question as to how this proposal or resolution would kind of impact those sorts of outside entities, as it was mentioned in the bill, that it would kind of limit the voice of outsiders on what is being taught in by our faculty. So yeah, how will that impact it if we have like an advisory council or something?
Okay, thank you. Angie, did you want to respond to that before I move on?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I'm exactly able to since, you know, that's part of the faculty, part of the resolution. It's a body's external to the faculty. So I'm sure something would have to be arranged if that then does then have input into curriculum. So I assume that would happen on the college or unit level. But I can't really speak for it, I guess.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any comments on this resolution? Go ahead, Renee.
I would also like to oppose it. I completely agree with what Stephen just said.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Jessica.
I don't know the formal way to ask this, but could we give some more time to think about this? Because some of this stuff is new to me. Sorry. It's okay. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know enough about either.
We can't side. Table it. If we could postpone it.
Okay.
But whatever. Jean speak.
Joe, Jean can't speak until we deal with Jessica's request to postpone.
Okay. I'm so sorry. It was a general and not a formal request. Does that make a difference?
Oh, it's okay. I mean,
I just don't know enough about either side of this to vote.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone this until later.
Is there any objection? Sounds like Jessica doesn't want to make that motion right now.
She doesn't want to make the motion. Okay.
But, sorry, but that's what you would do, Jessica, is you'd move to postpone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Jean.
Jessica basically stated what I would ask. I'd like to have some time to listen to some more of these voices, and I would move to postpone till next month.
Is there a second to that motion?
I second that motion.
With unanimous consent and without objection, you could object, of course. Remember that. We'll postpone this until next month. Okay, not seeing any objection to that. Let's move on to the resolution number 2, the Senate Bill 317. Is that what it's called?
No, that's not the title of the resolution, but that is how it is on the agenda. And I made one minor correction to it today that I'll point out on this. And it was just to correct Teresa Costantinidis's name. It was spelled incorrectly, had an extra N in there. So that is the only change from the documents that I sent out earlier today. And so I would move that the council adopt resolution 2, resolution to reduce or eliminate cost sharing for behavioral health services.
Any discussion? Is there a second on this? This isn't coming from committee, is it?
It is not.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion, go ahead, Madeline.
Yeah, this is just a, I don't know, technical thing more than anything else, but there's a little bit of discontinuity with University of New Mexico versus UNM in here. I think sometimes UNM has been, especially in lines 9 or points 9 and 17, UNM is an acronym, but that's not clearly defined as the acronym for the University of New Mexico. So that's the only edit I would make to this, but otherwise I think it's good.
So is that a proposed amendment, Madeline?
Yes, it is a proposed amendment.
Okay, thank you.
In point 9.
Okay, second. Any objection to that amendment? Thank you, Madeline. I was supposed to give Amy a first chance to sell this. Did you want to go discuss anything, or shall we just go on?
Well, right now we have to deal with this proposed amendment, so you could use unanimous consent if no one has an objection to it.
So without, with the amendment, right? If there's no objection and unanimous consent, I would like to, go ahead, Yade.
I think based on Madeline's commentary, also line 11 or point 11 needs to be changed as well. I don't think it's a new amendment. I think it's just point.
Yeah, we have to wait on changes. That. Okay. Keep that in mind. So is there any objection to the changes in the amendment that Madeline proposed? So with unanimous consent without objection, we'll accept it. And then we'll move on to Yade's amendment.
Mine was Madeline's. It was just pointing out where UNM was used as an abbreviation in an additional place, right?
Okay.
I don't think it's separate. I think it was all part of the same thing.
Okay.
Or no, Madeline's shaking her head. Okay, then like, but now that Amy added, it is parenthetical in 9. So I think that that's my amendment's moot. No need to discuss.
Go ahead, Sierra.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we just need to clearly define the acronym at one point, and then everything beyond that can be UNM. So I don't think we need to do another amendment. So that's all.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other discussion on this resolution? So without objection and unanimous consent, I would like to go ahead and pass this resolution. All right. Is there any objection?
I object.
Shall we vote on it then?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to call a roll call.
A roll call vote? Mm-hmm. Is Amy still here?
Yeah, I'm here. Joe, hold on. I was preparing a poll until there was a request for a roll call vote. So just give me a second to get that in order. Okay, boy, it has been a long time since I've done a roll call vote. If I have ever, actually, I think this is the first time.
This year, right? At least.
No, I think this is the first time, but this is great.
Oh, that's right.
I just want to say to everyone, great job of using your voices here today. And great job of using Robert's rules, right, to get us clearly through these. So very good job. Okay, so roll call vote. Amy Ortiz, can you please remind me, is this a three quarters vote?
Resolution, we don't have three quarters. We only have majority and two thirds.
Right. So resolutions are majority vote.
Majority. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So I will go down the list of our counselors. Counselors, when I call your name, please, if you are in favor of this resolution, please say yes or yay. If you are not in favor of this resolution, please say no. Okay. Is everyone clear about what we're voting on? The resolution? Any questions? Okay, cool. Thank you. Beecham?
Yes.
Begay?
Yes.
Blanco Silva?
Yes.
Cushing?
Yes.
Bose?
Yes.
Desai?
Yes.
Faustino?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Forsyth?
Yes.
Gallegos? Gilbert, are you still here? He may have had to leave. Gouch?
Yes.
Henley?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Pavka? Lane?
I abstain as speaker.
Lionbarger?
Yes.
Luna?
Yes.
McQuarrie?
Yes.
Murillo?
No.
Olay?
Yes.
Ortiz?
Yes.
Bibbs?
Yes.
Rios?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Rucker? Christina, are you still here? Sakiestua?
Yes.
Sawyer?
Yes.
Serena?
Yes.
Sloan?
Yes.
Smith? Josh, you still with us? Stanton?
Yes.
Stoddard?
Yes.
Terrell?
Yay.
Thomas? Prince, you with us? Oh, he had to go. Okay. Trujillo?
Yes.
Trujillo McClure?
Yes.
Okay, thanks everyone. Give me just one second. Hey, Speaker Lane, we do have a majority vote for yes on this resolution.
Okay, thank you. This resolution passes. Thank you, everyone. Moving to the next resolution, the legislative priorities, that would be number three.
Hi, Joe, do you want to pull it up?
Okay.
Do you have it? I can also.
I think this is it. Number three. Can everyone see that? Okay. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, so I am making a motion to approve the legislative priorities set out by UNM's Government Relations Committee. And I think I sent this all out to you a few days ago. I hope you had a chance to read it. So I think I need a second.
This is coming from committee, so it doesn't really need it.
Okay.
Is there any discussion on it?
I have a question, Speaker.
Sure, go ahead, Renee.
So my curiosity lies in the fact of having some firepower behind our request for 10% increase, meaning that has anybody done any research as to exit surveys or exit interviews that have been held with regards to if they're leaving because of the fact of no pay? Because I'm just curious, if we had that information, I believe that that would be a slam dunk, if you will, to showing the necessity and the requirement that we should be able to or should have such a thing available because of the fact that we are losing valuable employees to the state and to the hospital.
Go ahead, Amy.
Thanks, Speaker Lane. Agreed, it would be wonderful to have that data, but that staff survey isn't ready yet. So probably by the end of the year, we will have it. I don't know if we have it officially right now.
Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, I agree with Amy. The data is there. We would need to pull it together. I firsthand know that we have lost people not only to the state, but to the labs and outside the state, also very valuable, you know, institutional knowledge people we have lost because we cannot meet or beat the offers they're getting. It's just a fact.
Is there any other discussion on this? I do know we're on a deadline. Is that true on all this? Yeah. So is there any other discussion? Okay, be ready. I will, without objection and unanimous consent, I would like to propose this resolution to pass. Is there any objection? Okay, thank you, everybody. The resolution passes. Thank you. Chair, stop share. So on to counselor introductions. Anybody want to make an introduction of yourself? We haven't done this for a while. I know people tend to be a little nervous about doing it. No one?
I could talk about myself again if you need me to, but I feel like I've been somewhat recent in this. And you all know something about me by now. But just to help out.
Okay, thank you, Yade. Go ahead, Carla.
Can we pick on somebody that we're curious about?
Sure, why not? They could have the option to not respond, but go ahead.
Just because her name is Ruth and my grandmother's name is Ruth, maybe Ruth could tell us a little bit about herself and what she does for her job.
Well, let me turn on the camera. I'm Ruth Stoddard, and I work here in Residence Life and Student Housing. And I've been an employee at the university since June 7th of 2010. So I'm a Cancer, and I love walking on the beach at sunset. How's that? Does that give you enough there, Carla?
Welcome.
Okay, Ruth. Thank you so much, Ruth.
Thanks
for putting me put on the spot. Are there any other introductions? We're heading close to 3. Finally, this is like a full meeting. So I'd like to adjourn now, if there's no objection. So thank you, for everybody, for coming. Oh, wait, Mark has a... Go ahead, Mark.
I just had a question, comment. Is there anything actionable item-wise that we're going to do as far as seeking out more information for the resolution number one that was postponed till next meeting? Or is this something that individual counselors will just seek out on their own to find out more information prior to next month?
I'm not sure. Amy, do you want to try to answer that? Or
so if there were an actual specific request, like I would like to see the data on X, Y, and Z that support this, that would be, like Mark said, an actionable request. If we're postponing until next meeting, just so people can have a chance to think about it or find more information on their own, then it would be up to individual counselors. But of course, resolution authors can always send whatever they want out on the listserv if they have more information they want. It's just not required.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objection to adjourning now? So thanks everyone again for coming. It was a fun meeting, I think. So, okay.
Great meeting today, you guys. Good job, everyone.
Thank you.